Oh no, I've been so fucking busy and lazy lately that I didn't have time to do the three-man for the net or Kate and Leopold, and now you've got to hear it. No!
Oh, take as long as you want, mate. Seriously, as long as you want.
Luckily, I do have time to prepare those notes now. I'm writing this at 2 a.m. the night before the record, and that's a weeknight.
We're recording on a weeknight.
Also, it's a week after we should have recorded, so I've got so much time. Let's get into it, folks. Cabran E. Chamberlain, who has an entry in the MCU fandom wiki because he played Tourist in Ant-Man and Whale Watcher in Ant-Man and the Wasp. He's a part of cinematic history.
Whether he likes it or not.
That'll be there forever. Forever. Think twice, people. He was in Venom as Tourist, Four Christmases as Airport Traveler, and much earlier, The Net as Cathedral Employee. A man of the cloth lost his way.
Wow. A jet-setting man of the cloth.
A jet-setting man of the cloth, delivering Jesus to wherever he goes.
To all the foreigns.
To all the foreigns he finds. But where does he call home? The Net. Probably America, then.
Oh, yeah.
Ebony Joanne was Mama Ronzoni in Grown Ups 2. I don't remember which character had the surname Ronzoni, but...
No, but I can only imagine.
Paul Blart's mum was in it quite a bit, so maybe that was her.
Oh, yeah, could have been.
But also played Patton's mama in Eddie, so that's very much a mama kind of recurring theme here.
Yeah.
And was Nurse Esther in Kate and Leopold. Esther, of course, ancient Jewish name meaning mama. So
yeah, of course. I mean, yeah.
Appreciate that.
Gosh, the maternal in her must be so palpable. She lays awake at night dreaming of being a tourist, but... The America literally doesn't let her travel.
No, speaking of America not letting people be who they ought to be, Kristen Schaal was in Norbit, Valentine's Day in Kate and Leopold, and for some reason I highlighted Norbit in red at some point in the 6 years since we did that film, so...
With good reason, I think.
Here's to you, me of the past. Brutally, Viola Davis was in Eat, Pray, Love, Suicide Squad, Black Adam, and Kate and Leopold. Tiny role in Kate and Leopold, but frankly, she deserves the infamy for her DC work.
Fair. She's
more than
stern woman.
And it would only respect us if we were stern in return. That's the way stern people work.
Stern in return.
Stern in return.
Ethos to live your life by.
Well, speaking of ethoses that you should be living your life by, the huge Jackman was in Chappie, where he was cross as a bag of frogs, or a sock full of frogs.
Or whatever.
Whatever it was. Movie 43, where he had balls on his chin. Great.
Oh, yeah.
Van Helsing and Kate and Leopold. Although, honestly, his performance in Kate and Leopold, I think, should earn him some sort of reprieve. Not for movie 43. Nothing knocks that off your record. But
so
maybe
Freeman,
Van Helsing.
Not a foreman.
Yeah, back to a three-man.
Okay.
Similarly, Leif Schreiber was in movie 43, Mixed Nuts and Sphere. I'm not willing to forgive anyone for movie 43, but maybe we could knock off a sphere or two for his wonderful performance in Kate and Leopold.
Got to knock off a sphere or two.
Speaking of knocking off a sphere or two, Event Horizon. I don't know if that was first. I don't know for... Paul Dogtective.
Oh, I love your raisins, tough guy.
Oh, yeah, shit, mate, that could work for dialogue. Let's use it. Let's use that.
What's that? Thanks, homeless man on the street who's drunk out of his mind. Yelling
spare
at the
change,
raisin.
Please. Let's put that in.
We could change one of the words to brand manufacturing terms.
Oh, yay. Yay. That'll do. That's an idea. 10 episodes into 2024, and we want to use the decade episodes to do something very special and bad this year. So we're going to tackle the all-time notoriously bad movies ever made. Where better to start than with the 2002 animated family film Dogfight? That's not even what it's called.
This is what I wish it was called.
He's dynamic.
Oh boy!
He's dramatic. He's the big dog.
Dex the detective is back in the house.
That always runs to the rescue.
I still got it.
Charlie Sheen is Dex.
When in doubt, just do the right thing.
With Hilary Duff.
Listen, tough guy. Doesn't mean that I couldn't kick your butt.
Eva Longoria.
I've got a hot case for you.
Wayne Brady.
I'm your best friend, Daredevil Dan.
And Christopher Lloyd.
Somebody ordinary call.
The Super Slick.
Got milk?
Do I look like the Dairy Queen to you?
Super Sleuth.
You!
Clean up on aisle one.
Is about to tackle.
Yo, Dex!
They're building an entire army.
His biggest case ever.
Let's get him!
I do have an idea.
It's a battle between the world's most beloved brands and the forces of darkness.
Attack!
Food fight.
This makes 500 cases you've solved. What's your secret?
The secret's inside.
I didn't realize this was a 10 episode. I would have put some trousers on.
He only does that when it's a very special one. But I prefer him like this. Raw, unsheathed, and ready to party. Welcome to this kids' film.
God. Yeah, this is a kids' film? Jesus.
Jesus Christ. The info for this rundown of the production comes from the New York Times article, The Rise and Fall of the Computer Animated Film Food Fight. Is that the fucking dissertation title?
That's
the many mishaps and japes involved in the production of the commercial vehicle Food Fight starring Charlie Sheen.
The mishaps and japes involved in the crushing, plummeting box office crash.
Meanwhile, Tristram Shandy's involved. And the Den of Geek article, The Incredibly Strange Story of Food Fight. So where to start? All right, hear me out.
All right.
Mortal Kombat. There's a reason this time.
I'm with you so far.
Lawrence Kasanoff worked as an executive producer on a bunch of movies, including Blue Steel, the Catherine Bigelow thing, and True Lies. So he was very much in with the Cameron Bigelow set in the early 90s.
Right, okay.
There's big, we saw you from across the bar and liked your vibes energy to it.
And like the trousers that you wore on this occasion.
But he really hits the proverbial pay dirt in 1995 with Mortal Kombat, his first proper producing role. He was an executive producer for before that, which is nothing. Oh, yeah. Which is literally nothing.
Yeah. Get these men a cappuccino and then just leave.
Just leave before it gets there, for the love of God. Don't let him find you. From there, he's balls in on Mortal Kombat. He produces the animated tie-in movie, The Journey Begins, produces crucially. He directs the live tour, which is the most 90s-ass thing, a Mortal Kombat live tour. Like, what? I think there was a Ninja Turtles one and, like, a Power Rangers one. It's just, oh God, it made so much sense when I read that.
What is that? Just people dressed up in...
Yeah, they'll come out and do some martial arts and be like, oh boy, we've got to beat Shang Tsung. If only someone from the audience could help us out. That's right, Raiden.
Christopher Lambert's in the audience. Yeah. Why don't you return my calls?
So, yeah, he produces and has a story credit for Mortal Kombat Annihilation. Mm-hmm. And that is where he seemingly meets writers Joshua Wexler and Brent V. Friedman. And together, they create what is generously described in the New York Times as the concept. The concept being, let's make product placement the literal entire movie.
Yeah, they say it in the trailer.
Yep.
What if the best loved brands fight the forces of darkness?
Oh man, it's Toy Story with brands.
Oh, I love that.
I got that idea.
I love it so much. I'm watching Toy Story.
Kids!
But who made them? Who made them?
Who
What's
made
their
these
story?
Things. What's Captain Kellogg's got to say about all this? That's what I want to know.
What's a Woody Allen type doctor's take on this? Hmm?
How am I supposed to get invested in these characters when none of them are the Cocoa Puff shrimp?
Mother?
Mother. Anyway, Kasanoff's own Threshold Entertainment put up $25 million along with Korean investment company Natural Image.
And they turned it down? They said, no, thank you. We don't need your money.
The last instance of a Natural Image involved in this production. That is still $25 million short of the estimated required budget for the film, though, which they believed they would get from foreign pre-sales and loans against sales. I think I was too tired to really vet this for being interesting or interesting. I'm too tired now to distinguish between interesting and interesting.
I've been that way since Food Fight. So
you're a
I'm on your
man,
side,
folks.
I don't know what I'm doing anymore. I haven't got words for anyone.
I've only got images, horrible, horrible images I wish I didn't have. Kasanoff agrees that to direct in spite of having no prior experience of animation. He was confident, though. He believed that Food Fight would help make Threshold Animation the next Pixar.
God. And hey, if all else fails, we can repackage the outtakes.
As the movie. Negotiations were difficult as they secured the appearance of over 80 food industry characters, three of whom have endured the test of time and are recognizable to me now today.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. But major brands agreed to having free exposure in exchange for promoting the film upon release. I don't know how many of those promises reached fruition. However, yeah. Apparently, Threshold hoped that their own characters would soon be recruited to promote their own cereals or chocolate bars. Kids are going to love this fucking Indiana Jones dog played by a cokehead.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Hey, don't sell him short, mate. Crack cocaine. Crack cocaine.
Is there any way I could eat a cereal whilst looking at Christopher Lloyd in this movie? Can you arrange that?
Is there any way I could actually look at Christopher Lloyd in this movie? Is there any way my eyes could just fix on a single point where Christopher Lloyd exists in this movie?
I actually can't. It's literally impossible. It's like that eye test, you know, where it's like, okay, so you counted that the ball was passed 16 times, but did you notice the man dressed as a monkey? It's kind of like that, except you literally, your body and mind will not allow you to look at Christopher Lloyd.
You think you're trying, but you're actually not. Your face the other way. Your eyes are shut.
It's what the guy saw when he looked back into the Lovecraftian horror at the end of In the Mouth of Madness, or whatever it's called.
Yeah. Ugh. In the Multiverse of Madness.
In the Multiverse of Madness. It's what you saw if you look back when you're on your way out and you saw the Bruce Campbell-related post-credit scene.
Christopher Lloyd in the background.
It's never over.
It's never, never. So, Advertising Watchdog Commercial Alert weren't happy. Understandably. Yep. In 2001, Gary Ruskin remarked, "It raises the commercial assault on children to a new level of brazenness. Some people will stoop to any level to make a buck, and sadly, Food Fight is an example. It looks like a 2-hour parade of junk food at a time when we have skyrocketing levels of childhood obesity and type 2 diabetes. I don't know, to watch Food Fight to come away with it that it promotes fast food and that's the problem with it doesn't quite..." No, to be fair, excuse me, he's saying this in 2001. Not a frame of this movie exists. If it did,
okay,
he would realize that he doesn't have to worry about children's tummies being what's broken by this movie. Their minds will break first.
And then their tummies.
Yeah, when they desperately try and eat themselves into an early grave, as I have committed to doing now.
I'm proud of you, mate. That's been going really well.
Made a lot of progress. Yeah.
With Food Fight, it's not only difficult to associate any of the brands that are depicted on screen with the real life versions for various reasons.
Yeah.
But also I feel like it would be the sole contributor to the healthiest generation of children ever to come about ever, who only want things that don't come in packages.
No, the flashbacks.
Not another mascot, mama.
But Kasanoff insisted it would be more than a glorified advert, and that brand mascots are really no different from action heroes. In a digital world, you're hard-pressed to tell the difference between Mr. Clean and Arnold Schwarzenegger. And, you know, in spite of that flawless logic, they move forward with big plans to make tie-in video games, toys, and a multi-part web series.
Wow. Again, all the time. We could have webisodes, guys.
Oh, God. You're not seeing the scope of this fucking thing. But then... tragedy strikes.
Oh.
According to Kasanoff, the hard drives containing most of the unfinished assets were stolen in what he describes as an incredibly complex crime.
Complex.
They had to unplug them and everything.
Did they make the Paul Greengrass mistake of
writing encrypted files?
USB? Yeah.
They tragically, they didn't label it clearly enough, otherwise they would never have taken the fucking thing.
Okay.
The 2005 tragedy. Release date was now off the cards as production had to start from scratch. But the real travesty struck after the theft, as the filmmakers decided to switch from a Looney Tunes style sort of fluid motion style animation to a motion capture animation style, which was faster to produce.
Oh.
Kasanoff didn't understand this new type of animation, often described asking for things to be more awesome or 30% better. And he also didn't understand why someone trained in texture couldn't then do modelling work.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Why would that be a thing that you ask? But apparently, Image Metrics developed software to sync animation to a voice actor's filmed performance, speeding up the process. The only catch being that the actor had to stare straight ahead and keep still. Kids love that. Animators love that. That's why some of the dialogue of this movie consists of characters just sort of dead-eyed staring directly at the fucking camera as they deliver their lines. Though not everyone.
Not everyone, and it makes you wonder what they were doing.
Christopher Lloyd, maybe they did his bits first, and it's like, wow, okay, this really doesn't work if you move at all. Charlie Sheen, can you not move whilst you deliver all your lines?
Perfect. Use it. And then they go, well, it's not quite right. Wayne Brady, what about you? No, let's just stick with not moving at all.
Hilary Duff, let's go back to moving. Nope. Nightmares.
No.
Eva Longoria? No. Ah!
Crying over spilt milk.
Well, what are you doing here?
I've got a hot case for you. I'm looking for a guy about your height. Same great build. Same strong jaw. Only difference is this guy isn't living in the past.
The film failed to get released three times in the subsequent decade. In 2005, 2007, and then 2011. So I guess it failed twice, but it failed three times.
They kept trying to sneak it into cinemas and always caught.
They kept trying to attach it to Steven Soderbergh's Haywire, but it didn't work.
We had such big hopes.
They secure a 2013 release date, a full decade after its initial production, nearly 10 years after it was meant to come out. Jesus. It was released as inexpensively and quickly as possible after the deal was struck.
God, it's just like, oh, ladies and gentlemen, this is your pilot speaking. We are still waiting for permission to land, but when it does come, I'm just going to fucking bomb it, mate. I'm busting for a piss.
Thank you, pilot. Thank you for securing this great victory over gravity. Critics were puppy whipped over this one.
Ah, is this for kids?
Is this for kids? is it though? Mammy, what's puppy whipped? Asked your father. Nathan
Let
Robin
me tell
said,
you, son.
In a lengthy review for the AV Club in 2013.
Oh, that's nice.
Food Fight! ! Doesn't just represent one of the entertainment world's most appalling lapses of taste, restraint, and judgment in recent memory. It's one of those fall of civilization moments. Only in this case, the world ends not with a bang, nor with a whimper, but rather a deranged push from a suicidal, apocalyptic Twinkie the Kid.
It lost me as I stopped knowing what some of those words meant. But
that'll happen.
But I think the crushing reality of it all, as we've learned from the last 5 years or so, is whenever you think something's going to end, like, oh, I don't know, say a political career, it does just keep on going. And that is very much the feeling I got from Food Fight.
You very much get a sense of the endlessness of everything.
Yeah.
And that's what I enjoyed about it. The public, on the other hand, would like to butter Lawrence Kasdanov's muffin. Obviously, there are about 100 reviews calling it the best film ever made.
Obviously.
Very helpful. But here's something that seems real. Emoji Marbles on Google said...
Okay.
I saw this movie today, and it's really cringeworthy, since the character's designs are really cringeworthy. Even the villain is the cringiest character in the movie. The poster made it not have cringe, but it failed anyways. Also, food fights are a waste of time since you're just wasting food. I find the Emoji Movie better than this.
I mean, it's hard to disagree with something I agree with in principle, or like on message, but in principle disagree with at the same time.
In principle, this movie is fairly cringy. Food fights are a waste of time. And yeah, I think the emoji, if you sat me down right now and said, do you want to watch Food Fight or the Emoji Movie, I'd bite your fucking hand off with the Emoji Movie, my friend.
Yeah, but brilliant. I could ignore the Emoji Movie.
This is not eyeball gougingly horrendous.
No. But then the cringe agenda of that reviewer, I'm not sure I'm on board. What do they want?
It's anti-cringe, I would say. Are you in the pro-cringe camp?
Well, no. I just think, you know, with this obsession with cringe, it's threatening my freedoms.
Well, what are we saying really about cringe other than, you know, attacking people for being earnest?
Yeah.
And that's the importance of being cringe. Oh, Christ, more Threeman. It's 2:40 in the morning now. It's hoping Christopher Lloyd hasn't made too many bad decisions. Uh-oh. Not too many. Bob Bergen is in the Emoji Movie, Space Jam, and New Legacy in this. Martin Clever is in Movie 43, Van Helsing, The Iron Mask in this. And Michael Goff was in those two Batman movies we did and bought all of the fish and chips for Satan's Slave. He's also
Michael
in this.
Goff was Michael Goff in... Who was Michael Goff in this?
Let's find out together, shall we, folks?
Oh, no.
No, Michael Goff.
He wasn't the person doing the Kenneth Williams sort of voice.
Oh, was he one of the... What are the soldiers, you mean?
The big... Yeah, the second Nazi food guy in command.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. Don't rule out the possibility this might be an entirely unrelated Michael Goff.
True. Michael Gove. He thought it would help his image. wrong as ever, Michael.
He's been voted in harder than ever. Oh, I think that actually might just be a different Michael Goff. Yes, it is. We rescind. It's Michael J. Goff. And weirdly, I don't quite understand it, but it says he was the voice of Dex Dogtective, as well as Chef Boyardee and Army Soldier. So maybe Charlie Sheen, when he was too coked up to actually deliver any lines coherently.
Yeah,
they got
wow.
this fucking guy in. Okay, I take it back, Michael Goff, you beautiful man.
Keep spreading your fish and chip message.
free to a man, free in a bush, free, free. Yo. Film's a shit, mate.
I think it's interesting that Space Jam A New Legacy was mentioned, Paul. I feel...
Yes.
Not the first time I've thought of Space Jam A New Legacy.
One better thing.
Since watching Food Fight. Yeah, it crushes me to admit, but
I'd rather
it's somehow better than Food Fight.
It does have more charm and humanity. So, yeah. Paul, you cold farted itch.
Oh,
I agree. What's one thing about Food Fight that made you think there were some stains you can never wash out on your soul?
Oh well, mate. Start with your best joke. There was a sight gag where there was a club called Melon Rouge.
Wonderful.
Imagine Ewan McGregor with a melon.
You can't. No.
That's the joke. That's the joke is that he hates lemons and melons and he's
dyslexic. And melons. It's a terrible. No, he loves melons. Hates lemons. And it's dyslexic. It's a terrible existence for him. He's never happy. He's just never happy.
He's never happy because of those main reasons. Jesus Christ.
We start with the Nickelodeon logo. Oh, no, that's the movie's title. Okay.
Okay, cool. Word. Oh, exclamation mark.
Love it.
And then other things. There's a lot. There's a lot going on. A lot of judgment already.
Incidentally, mate. I saw the trailer for this and so knew what kind of bumpy fucking ride I was in for this movie. Yeah. Didn't anticipate that I would feel so much better about it by watching the first half hour of it on a taxi ride through East London. That's going to make me feel less nauseous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can imagine why. If you live in opposite land and your brain's rewired.
A lot of uneven roads.
Ooh. And the taxi driver knew what you were watching, so he was trying to fucking roll the thing.
God bless him. God bless that hero.
God bless that hateful man.
As a result, I've written... Oh, yeah, okay, so we're in a convenience store. Oh, you know what? Our listeners aren't going to know why this is so hellish. Paul, describe the visual style of the film.
Okay, so vomit.
Yeah.
Browns... mulch greens and a sort of like a mayhem constantly sweeping camera.
Yes. So
that occasionally goes underwater in the sea of vomit.
Let me throw you some words. Let's use the word clip art.
Yep, clip art.
Let's use the word procedurally generated.
Let's
use the phrase Second Life.
Yeah, okay.
And I think maybe we're getting a bit closer to where we're at. Maybe then, also animated 3D figure in MySpace.
Yeah, and also occasionally... Now, Christopher Lloyd was in a point-and-click game on like a CD-ROM game back in the CD-ROM days.
Good for him.
And there was a that was unrelated fact there for you, but those games that blend like the live action character such as Christopher Lloyd, who would just walk on screen as Christopher Lloyd and narrate
against
things.
A sort of 3D backdrop,
that but without the actual live action Christopher Lloyd as well. The
just an absolute load of shite.
Yeah, back when those graphics were state of the art in 1992, but 20 years later.
20 years later, and here we are. Yeah. It's 28 years later, and this is the zombie apocalypse we all deserve. They leave, and they're like, not much happens in this store after dark. And then he leaves, and, you know, a horrendous pop song starts playing. Yeah. And I start to try and roll out of the taxi.
But he kept you in, because he was also rolling, but he was sort of counter-rolling.
He didn't want me up
your
right.
Role. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're a hero. I know, you slayed. Yeah, it's and then imagine some of the characters come in, and again talking about the aesthetics. Some of them look like de-resing cyberpunk characters pre-patch. Some of them glisten and look like a greasy ball bag. Some of them undulate and groan, and some of them just move, Paul.
Yeah,
and that's
they
what
just
you need
move
to
about the place as if they were completely untethered to the world around them.
Yeah,
some people might have seen footage of like Resident Evil 2, where they've gone in and turned the animation up by 2,000%, and so the lips just peel back all the way over the face whenever they make an expression.
Jesus
and the heads and the sort of fucking arms bend around the place. It's like that. It's like that. It is that. It's that.
It is actually that.
It is actually that. So we're in a grocery store, but there is also in some sort of weird metatextual space beneath, within, sort of simultaneous to the store,
ill-defined.
A city.
Yes.
Ill-defined city that represents the aisles, but is also inside of the store somewhere. And here is where the mascots go as soon as the store closes at night.
Yeah. It's when they go hunting for slags.
They do. And having successfully found some slags is Charlie Sheen as Dogtective, whatever the fuck.
Dex Dogtective.
Dex Dogtective. That's a lot of nominative determination.
Dex is better. D-E-G-G-S.
It turns out he did actually become a Dogtective. So... yeah, he's fortunately seemingly involved in the end of the movie, and he saves some kittens in the best looking sequence since The Flash.
Haven't seen The Flash. I'm going to imagine that's cutting.
It's fucking brutal, mate.
Listen up, fat cat burglar. I'm giving you one last chance to hand him over before I cash in your coupons for you.
It is you, the great Dex Detective, who's about to take a fall. Or should I say, be pushed?
If I have a raisin for every time I've heard that one.
And he gets rid of the bad guys and then meets up with his love interest.
No! Turn off the randomizer plugin.
The Monster Factory got to this one.
No!
God.
I did actually keep thinking of Leon from the original Resident Evil 2. Which is not fair on Resident Evil 2, but the constant gesticulating long after the dialogue has ended. It's that, but way, way worse. It's not fair at all to compare that to Resident Evil 2.
And yet it's all I can think about.
When in doubt, just do the right thing and it'll always turn out.
But I was trying to ask you.
Don't worry. It'll just be a minute. Save my ice cream. I'll be right back, okay?
They have a big father-daughter energy, which makes it very unsettling that they're going out.
That's what Nell said.
Yep. Hilary Duff's playing it super young.
Yeah, Hilary, she's playing it super young. She's playing it...
And Charlie Sheen's playing it very Charlie Sheen.
Hilary Duff's the kid brought back to life in replicas.
Fucking hell. So they go out for dinner. Is that Paulie Walnuts from The Sopranos voicing the chef?
All right, your table's ready. We've got caviar, filets mignons, and an outstanding array of fruits and vegetables. Stay away from the Brussels sprouts. And forget about it. For dessert, we got...
Mmm, ice cream, my favorite. You want a lick?
Yes. No.
I hope so. I hope he shoots them both in the face and buries them in the woods. But he doesn't.
He doesn't. Not in this one, but in our dreams, in our fantasy dreams.
They are interrupted because Dog Tanyan is trying to propose to Hilary Duff, to Hannah Montana. Yeah. But unfortunately, they're interrupted by his best friend, a fucking squirrel.
Wayne fucking Brady, ladies and gentlemen.
Uh-oh.
Tonight's the night.
Nah, no worries. You can do it. As long as you got me to help you. Did I mention me?
What do you think?
Whoa, what the? You can 4 carrots? What did you do around the food bank?
Now, you sure you know what to do?
You think you're talking to? Come on. I'm your best friend, Daredevil Dan. The most stunt-flying, death-defying, chocolate-like.
He can't stop moving.
Oh, he never will. He goes and crashes, and so Hilary Duff's like, I'm going to go check on him. You don't have to go check on him. He's always crashing his plane. Don't worry about it. We're in the middle of a conversation. That's very sweet, but we can talk about it when we've checked on it. Oh, I'm not coming. I'm fucking serious. I'm not coming to check on this prick. He does this all the time, and I'm sick of rewarding him with my attention. Fuck
that
guy.
What are you going to do? I'm going to finish my fucking dinner.
All right, I guess I'll go check on your friend. Whatever. So she disappears forever.
Yeah. And it's so sad because now, Dex Dogtective can't even bring himself to be in the film, probably.
No, not really. And his squirrel fucking friend is like, cheer up, buddy. Look at this board and all the things you've achieved. This is a board recording all of my failures. Oh, I can't read. Why do you keep this? Because I'm a sad dude. Oh, that's a bit dark. All right, decision to leave. Let's fucking leave you to it. So,
yeah.
Anyway, at least things can't get worse. Here comes Christopher Lloyd.
May I help you?
You must be Leonard, the manager. I'm your new brand X representative.
I wasn't expecting any new products.
A corporate picked your store to test the new brand X detergent.
With Alexa. Brand X, huh? Never heard of it.
Give us 1 week. Your customers won't know how they lived without Brand X.
Just why? Why is this like this?
Why is life like this? Why is the world like this that this can happen in it?
You know, when I was 10 to 12, say, in middle
age.
School, it was a good age to be. I didn't really know anything, and I didn't know I didn't know anything. And
not yet.
And I was picked on a bit. It was really, really win-win for everybody. and what you had, like, these, you got to work with design software where you'd put in a formula, and it would draw something based on the formula you gave it, which was like directions for an electric etch-a-sketch.
Yeah.
And sometimes you could just like effectively randomize it. And it just, it really just felt like somebody did that with that character, because there's no way Christopher Lloyd was moving like that in order to fucking get that mo-capped.
Okay, I'm here to record. And he's just coming in like this fucking...
Yeah. He's got that thing that cats have where they can't walk straight. But then the shopkeeper's got the
syndrome of a cat in a car.
That's being driven by that taxi driver.
Yeah, the shopkeeper was trying to match his energy. He was a very good performer.
Like, the shopkeeper alone was baffling, was incomprehensibly baffling. And putting Christopher Walken in there, it was like the juxtaposition in Zone of Interest, I'm going to say.
Yeah.
But worse.
But anyway, he's here to introduce a new brand of product called Brand X. Isn't that usually the shit product they use as an anonymous sort of straw man for their good product to fight? Okay.
Yeah.
Brand X is here to cause trouble. So
placeholder.
Meanwhile, back brand inside the city, why is this detective famous? Does he own this club? Oh, they're doing Casablanca. So he owns...
It's fit as fuck, mate.
He's fucking hot. I'll tell you who else is fucking hot, and that's the Brand X lady who's now manifest in this world. And is
as Eva Longoria,
and she tries to do a sex on him, but then goes off with fucking Chucky Squirrel
Chuckers. Cunt.
instead,
she's, Look, mate, she can get her legs super high and impromptu.
Certainly for, can.
With no provocation whatsoever.
Yeah.
And she'll keep doing it.
She's going to keep doing it, folks. So, yeah, the police arrive or something. I don't know. It's Casablanca, so they all run away. Yeah. Later on, she appears at Dog Tanyan's fucking PI office. I guess he also keeps... This time, she's dressed as a schoolgirl. Daddy, why is she dressed like a schoolgirl? Well, son, let me explain. Some men are attracted to women who wear schoolgirl outfits. Perhaps this is a nostalgia thing, recapturing an innocent time when their sexual feelings first awoken. Or perhaps it's a societal taboo, you know, sort of breaking the sort of age barriers that sort of define our society. But more than likely, it's in order to elicit a pedophilic response in which he is attracted to younger members of the sex, perhaps even underage. Why, yes, I don't see any reason to doubt that the main character of this film is a pedophile.
Oh. Daddy, what does this next thing mean?
Can we see... I wanted to see Brave. We're not seeing something with a woman in the lead. Damn
no,
it.
Thank you. No, thank you. More Christopher Lloyd, please.
Oh, Christ. So she's here dressed as a schoolgirl. I don't think anything comes of it, though. So,
well,
so
she smells nice to Dex, and he keeps sniffing her hair. He keeps making a point of sniffing her hair whilst they're dancing.
And it makes his trousers move. Why is his trousers moving, Dad? Well, son.
I'm in the middle of a court hearing at the moment, so I'll get back to you.
So the squirrel is fucking missing now, and it's obviously Brand X who did it, because she was the last one to see seen with him. So he wastes a day or two, and then he goes and talks to her about it.
Okay, brilliant.
And she fucking murders him in the end.
Yeah.
I'm glad. It's a happy ending. I fucking hate this dog. Want him dead. Want that dog dead right
now.
Want
him fucking dead. I want him dead. I want his kids dead. I want Hilary Duff dead.
What about Charlie Sheen? He'll get there sooner or later.
Yeah. Was this meant to be his like comeback after he'd crested the peak of his crack cocaine abuse?
I don't know. I don't know what the Charlie Sheen timeline is. Don't forget, we're in 2002 here.
Oh God, yeah. That's just the tip of the no, not even the tip. That's the beginning of the iceberg. You haven't even touched the iceberg yet.
I don't even know. What was his 80s like? It can't have been great. So,
no, true. 2010-ish was when all the you know, that interview came out when he was saying, I'm bi-winning, and kept talking about how great he was for doing loads of
crap. So this would have felt just thoroughly congruous to everyone.
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh, no. The fucking dog survived. That's a shame.
Aww.
So he wakes up with the squirrel thing, is also back in the movie, and they're in a drying machine that also spits out fire. Oh, that's a hot point.
Yeah.
Make of British. Unreliable goods, folks. So, yeah.
Just so you know.
They get away, but oh no, that Nazi lady's going to conquer the supermarket. What's the analogy here?
Nazis are bad, mate.
Oh, yeah. And Brand X is Nazis. So don't let Nazis take over your supermarket.
Some brands are Nazis. Which ones, kids?
Which ones? Dr. Oetker, it turns out. Oh, no.
Nestle. So, no, they've given us loads of money.
Oh, just kidding, folks. Buy Nestle. So they go and talk to a guy. Don't buy Nestle. Yeah. They go and talk to a guy with a big nose, and things get much worse. Just everything about the world that we're living in at the moment just gets much worse whilst they're talking to this fucking guy.
What is going on?
We need you to analyze this. I borrowed it from Lady X. I think it's the secret ingredient in the Brand X elixir.
Brand X! Oh! Brand X! Oh, why me? Why? Why Brand X? Why? No, come on. Why not, let's see, Dr. Pepper, Dr. Scholes, Dr. Feelgood, anybody
doc,
but
doc,
me.
Doc, step out of it. You're the only one with a nose for the job.
Ew!
Yeah, it's really bad, and you think, oh, don't worry, I do. Well, I do worry. I worry that he's not going to get enough screen time. Don't worry. Don't worry about it, mate. He'll be back.
Yeah.
Oh, he's central to it now.
Let's strawberry jam out of here. What?
Let's strawberry jam out of here.
Yeah, that was what I said. That was what
I
said
out loud.
What
does
that mean? It doesn't actually mean anything. And that's the real key to successful screenwriting, Paul.
Why is that soda bottle flying? Anyway, they get to the internet because they want Brand X recalled, so they confront the internet in a stunningly unmemorable scene.
Yeah.
Meanwhile.
It really was.
It really was. Anyway. Back in the fucking analogy, Rick's club gets raided.
No.
Some more people fart and nothing gets resolved. We're halfway through the movie. Jesus.
Boy.
Why would the penguin want the heating turned up?
It's a very good question, Paul. That's what I wanted to know as well. I almost turned to Nell and said, oh, I think they meant the opposite of that, but I just couldn't bring myself to say a thing. Couldn't bring myself to utter words, the same words that have been used in this abomination.
Look.
Thus sullying my own existence.
Look.
No.
Having recognized his destiny as the Lisan al Kaib and accepted the role of Maudib, he is now going to lead the Shai Hulud against the Harkonnen forces. But in order to do so, he must first find out where the Nazi lady is. Maybe you should try the giant Nazi building.
The one they built for this.
But yes, oh shit, it's the eponymous food fight now.
Oh, wow. And, this is how they're going to pad out the film, hey?
5 seconds of music plays over a battle sequence that lasts way too long, by which I mean any length at all.
Any length at all?
Literally any length.
So much is committed during these scenes that I found myself, I think, consoling myself by worrying about very petty concerns, like the ketchup bottles that fire, like these barrages of ketchup out, were coming out of an aperture that was far bigger than the one that we saw on screen. And I found it was just really nice and comforting to worry about that discrepancy.
Something real. That's
yeah,
nice.
Something
that's
real that I could sink my teeth into.
Mate.
It was lovely. It was probably the most human I felt all food fight.
Fuck yeah. All through the food fight. The battle goes badly, so they retreat to Rick's diner. And another inexplicable song later.
Hear the drums of battle ring, like thunder in the night.
And the tinfoil figures have been set up, so we can all feel good about that. The Nazi lady nearly cuts a frog's tongue out. That's good. That's good for the kids.
Yeah.
And the heroes murder one of the bad guy generals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
The fucking nose thing comes in and yells some stuff, which is surmisable as there's going to be more movie. And I fucking hate him for that.
That's what he stands for, is more movie.
And I hate that. Morally, I'm against it.
No.
What?
I was going to say Boogie Allen, like, because he sounds like Woody Allen, but I meant like Booger.
Yeah.
Because he's mucousy. But
that
Boogie
sounds like a disco theme.
It's more
Woody
like
Allen,
a disco
mate.
Thing, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the preserve of Heather
well,
Graham
look,
and Mark Wahlberg.
You've put some minimal effort in, so I am willing to put it in food fight.
Thanks. Well, we could change one of the words to, let's just say, crackle pop.
Fuck yeah, mate. So long as there's a fart cloud nearby, I'm 100% on board. So
oh, fuck yeah. Always with me, mate.
They've done something with the lightning, so now there's lightning. I'm just going to read my last few notes. Oh, he rescued Hilary Duff. Oh, the Brand X guy is here now, in the serial world.
Mm-hmm. He was a creation of Eva Longoria's.
Yes, Christopher Lloyd's character looks like the thing that Miyazaki called an insult to life itself. That AI-generated thing. You can get humans to do anything if you're hot. What include even if you're a fuckable cereal mascot, you just get them around your little finger, your very very little finger.
I'm not willing to rule it out.
Look, if the fucking Nesquik bunny, I don't think that's a thing, asked you to do
Nesquik
some
has a bunny.
Immoral shit, yeah. you would, wouldn't you?
Maybe not the Nesquik bunny, but the Cadbury's caramel bunny. Fuck yeah, mate.
Fuck yeah, the Milky Bar kid, forget about it. Oh no. So she gets her plastic surgery punched off, which is a thing you can
do. Oh yes, of course. And she's ugly and fat.
Now I'm on board with bad things happening to her.
Yeah. Phew.
Anyway, 10 minutes of credits. Oh thank fuck. Interspersed scenes? Fuck you!
Why?
How dare you? How dare you?
How dare you?
How fucking dare you?
They're on in the background. I went for a piss.
That's fine. Oh, you missed some fucking gems, mate, I can assure you.
Oh, I bet.
And that's the end of let's see here. Lawrence Kasanoff, Sean Caffron, Derek, Lawrence Kasanoff again, Brent Friedman, and Rebecca Swanson's food fight. Thanks, guys.
Jesus.
And thanks, Joshua Wexler and Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, thanks, everyone. Thanks, listeners. Oh, I got a bit low energy at the end of that plot retelling for me anyway.
There was very little to be done.
I felt futile.
I mean, I'm just seeing a sentence. As I pulled up the names there, I'm just seeing Lady X reveals that she had previously been the hideous Ike of an unsuccessful brand of prunes.
Mm.
That's a sentence in this movie that makes relative sense within the context of it.
Yeah, I just don't know how anybody could have pitched or written any of this with a straight face or without some feeling of defeat.
I do.
Because I've even forgotten the beginning of my sentence. So, but I felt like I was on one.
You were on one, mate, and it was good stuff. You don't know how anyone could pitch this with any degree of seriousness.
It just feels like every single innuendo or every single pun that wasn't a pun that was just an opportunity to mention one, you know, something from the fucking wonderful world of brand recognition, manufacture, and distribution. Or just any dialogue or plot twist or anything. Just, it felt like such a death knell to my own soul.
Yeah.
That I just can't imagine somebody just feeling good, all the way good about it. But I guess somebody did. somebody did.
And goddamn them for that. I know how this happened. There was never a spark of love or life in this.
Yeah.
This was an entirely cynical enterprise. Yeah. It was a business plan. It was, let's get a bunch of cereal mascots together into a perfunctory story as a cross-promotional item to help launch our shitty studio. And then various calamities struck that made it even worse than that cynical premise made out to be.
Yeah.
The best this could have been is the Emoji Movie. This is what happens if the Emoji Movie is made by someone like Ed Wood. It's just thoroughly terrible. And so, as a legitimate film, you can rule it out straight away. There's not an honest bone in its body. It was coldly brutal. And the fact that it's marketed towards kids is deplorable, and everyone involved should be ashamed of it.
Yeah.
As a cult, so bad it's good movie, ooh, it's not very... Literally, I think what you can get from it...
You're on thin ice.
All you can do is show someone the Christopher Lloyd... animation and say this is from a real movie and delight in your shared sense of shock and horror and disbelief.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
It couldn't possibly be.
That's it. This is not going to hold anyone's attention for 90 minutes. It is not worthwhile. You adapt. You adapt to it, and then only the craziest shit sort of gets you off guard, and the rest is just really boring.
It really is. And I mean... I was thinking about this as well, comparing it to, say, your Birdemics and your pass-throughs.
Sure.
And you know, but the Birdemics and pass-throughs. Yeah, movies made sincerely that have a soul, I think, no matter how inept or...
Misguided
they may be.
Yeah.
They have a soul, and Food Fight is barren. It is utterly barren.
Yeah,
and it thoroughly broke me. I just didn't have, didn't even have the anger of Jack and Jill or Grown Ups or something like that. It was a strangely cold, sort of dead experience for me. My brain didn't recognize it as a movie, so it just wasn't really engaging. It was,
as Miyazaki
remarkable.
Said, it is an insult to life itself. It's just the utter antithesis of everything that you want art or even just entertainment to be.
Yeah.
There's just nothing there.
It testament to its just pure emptiness is how much better Space Jam A New Legacy looks by comparison.
Yes. Yeah, at least it's shot like a movie.
And it had some characters with some things that weren't brand related.
Yeah, oh God. The fact that all of Dog Tanyan's fucking dialogue is... just puns. Just absolute nonsense and then puns is just the worst thing. It's so grating.
It's bad when Elemental did it, but that was, you know, once every few minutes there'd be something that doesn't quite work. With this, it was fucking Mad Libs, but all you had was cereal brands and product manufacturing distribution terminology. And you just fucking switch in whatever you want. Doesn't matter if it doesn't actually sound like the original word. Doesn't matter if it even holds, not even the same or the wrong meaning, just any meaning whatsoever.
Yeah.
Just put it in. Just slap it in. Couldn't believe this.
No, it's a bold new frontier of cynicism, this. You know, this makes Grown-Ups 2 look like a work of passion.
Gone with the Wind. Know?
It's just truly, truly abominable. Ah, and there's nothing to recommend it. There's nothing to suggest that anyone should pick this out or go and have a watch of it.
No.
It's just miserable.
No, nothing. I mean, I found some fucking quickfires.
Same.
But, you know, I found 8, and then I just sat back. I sat back and went, that'll do. That'll fucking do.
I mean, I have quite a few, but some of them are just stuff like, it looks like Lloyd saw the finished animation. Like, okay, hold on. Quickfire.
Yeah.
Quickfire. It looks like Christopher Lloyd saw the finished animation, because his delivery... Mm. I don't know what came first, chicken and egg here. Did Christopher Lloyd come in and do this crazy shit? Or did he see the animation and do this shit to try and match it? It's very hard to say. Because both are
thoroughly just mysterious.
Absolutely beyond the pale. And there's none of Lloyd's charisma in there. You know, he's Judge Doom is the role. But oh god, it's just bizarre. It's like somebody doing a really bad Christopher Lloyd impression.
I mean, look, props to Christopher Lloyd for putting in effort, and it sounded like, you know, even Charlie Sheen was putting in more effort than, say, Seth Rogen would.
Just coming and talking.
So there's that. It just, the concept of somebody recording dialogue and what this movie is feels so far removed from one another.
Yeah.
Fuck me. It would be worse to look at the graphics, the animation before delivering your lines, I think, because.
Yeah.
Fuck you do for this.
Oh, exactly.
I've already used Melon Rouge, mate, so I've got far fewer quickfires than I originally thought.
When the pirate is saying that he's going to get revenge against the Product X because one of his packets of crisps got stepped on, motherfucker.
Yeah.
After he's finished speaking, he says "Yar," almost as an afterthought after the thing he said. That's quite good.
Brand X will pay. Arr.
Oh yeah, that's quite good. Tony the murderer from The Sopranos, maybe as the waiter and all round friend of Dex Dog Detective.
All round friend for everyone.
He says that he's serving up filet mignons, and that always amuses me.
We's got caviar, filet mignons.
That's a good one. That's a lot. There's a lot to enjoy in that.
Thanks, mate.
There's a poof sound when somebody drops a penguin.
Okay.
I enjoyed that poof sound.
Well, what are you going to do when someone drops a penguin?
Yeah. He's wearing a parka as well.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. So there's
like
a poof.
That. Okay, so this next quickfire begins with dancing, horrible dancing. So
yes.
I'm just going to read through this and see what's going on. Eva Longoria is bent backwards in a swoon, and the viewer is above looking down. Oh yeah, and as we're looking down and she's saying whatever she says, there's like a little rowing fish dude scraping his way across the floor in a little rowing boat beneath her. And that was a nice little background detail.
That's quite good. I do like the fact that whenever there's a dance, like, everybody's doing the same. Like, only every so often is the animation shit enough to actually elicit a new laugh from you beyond the first one. But all of the characters doing the exact same dance as if this was, you know, Second Life.
Yeah.
Is quite amusing.
It is something.
Yeah.
There's a reason that you can do it faster.
Yeah.
Hey, did you know that we can do this faster if we just give everyone the same dance move?
Shit!
As opposed to just properly animating everyone dancing in their own way. Yeah. Oh, brilliant. That's cashback.
That's Asda price.
I did enjoy the repeat gag of the car reversing out and hitting the trolley as a one-off, you know.
Okay.
Fine, but then it happens again later and it just...
Mm.
There's a good callback.
Everybody's going to love that. One of the fucking henchmen is this weird British lizard guy who does it gets grating quite quick, but his first delivery of "it'll be a cakewalk" was something.
Cakewalk.
Yes, I think that's it. It's just so grotesque.
It'll be a cakewalk.
Yeah, I can't even. It's Kenneth Williams with cake in his throat.
Yeah.
And also something's very wrong with Kenneth Williams.
Yeah.
Okay, so Chocul, played by Larry Miller, again, fucking weird, and it gave me real Thief and the Cobbler vibes of just the muttering, the sort of monologuing
that
wasn't really, didn't belong in that film. But Larry Miller had a couple of good lines in his weird sort of lazy drawl, like his discursive drawl.
Yeah.
Talking about carrying, I don't know if it was Dex or if it was not Dex, but he's talking about, like, he's blind and he's tired and it's hard to keep going. And with you on my back, not that I mind that, just the delivery of it was
was quite
good. It's a bit cheeky.
Yeah,
that was one of those sort of for the parents lines.
It's a cheeky bit.
This film, it's worth mentioning that this film's idea of for the dads.
Oh God! Horrific.
Was just to like, oh, what's a sex thing? Lubing up a penis. Okay, let's just put some brown words in that, and then we'll just stick that in and make everybody go what?
Yeah.
God. So that was there. Yeah. And then I got the line. She's hideous. Come on, she's unattractive. Even though it was a sort of hateful thing, the delivery of it was very good.
Okay.
Come on, everyone. She's unattractive.
I like the idea that being stuck in a dryer, the way to get out is to follow the sock, because the sock always manages to get out of the dryer. That's a cute...
Yeah, that's quite good.
Yeah. A very wry observation.
Ooh.
Oh my God, I've noticed that.
I've noticed that too. We're the same.
I relate so much. Oh, okay. Right, let's quickly finish off then. The sauce tanks show some fort, at the very least. The idea that there are tanks and that they work by shaking up the sauce and then smacking the back and then the sauce shoots out. That's something. It's something.
True. You know how, like, I've been fucking brainwashed, mate, by sauce adverts in the UK, because there was that one of people banging invisible bottles or banging bottles that weren't there, and they were glass. And so the image of banging a plastic one with a little squeezy top. Alien to me. That was like they just stood up and said, I hate everything you stand for, cunt.
Yeah, and rightly so. Alright, last one then. Very last one. That is... Oh no, I've got two left. What? They're both lines, actually.
Ambassador, you're spoiling us.
One of them is this sort of authority figure guy, I don't know who it is, but he's in there saying something like...
All the lightning rods are in place, I guarantee it. Well, pretty guaranteed. I mean, it's almost guaranteed. I can't guarantee it.
In like quick succession, which is good.
Yeah.
And then finally, an Eva Longoria line I quite liked, which was...
But enough about me. Let's kill you!
Okay. That was quite good.
Yeah. That worked well enough.
I want to just mention a moment, because I feel like I need to give context to the Eva Longoria's vagina line that I dropped earlier. And there is a shot where there's during the food fight eponymous... she manages to get her, like, she puts up a leg at this magic angle and then puts her foot on the balcony as she's, like, gazing onto this sort of landscape of war. And then there's a squadron of her fighter jets that fly, like, we're looking at it through her legs.
Okay.
With her legs framing it, with planes coming from, you know, where her vagina would be.
Yeah.
And is this for kids?
God knows. God knows what's going on at all at any stage in this film. And I'll tell you who else doesn't know, and that's the OG team, because I forgot to ask them.
Those clowns.
Uh-huh. Sorry about that, OG team. It's been a hell of a time for everyone
watch this
here at Paul Salt Times. But yeah, no, don't watch this at all. There's absolutely
You're
no reason to do that.
Benefit from it. If you haven't seen Birdemic or Path Through, watch those.
Yeah, watch those. They're much better. Okay. Paul, what's the one better thing?
The one better thing.
Oh, well, you know, Lego Movie or Barbie.
Yeah, sure.
By Miller and Lord and Greta Gerwig, respectively, did the important job of making you forget almost entirely that these are also brands and made it about human things.
Yeah.
You know?
No, absolutely. Tell you what, let's go for animated movies.
Okay.
From Hannibal 2005, the year this was supposed to come out. What have we got? We've got Family Guy, Stewie Griffin, The Untold Story, which had presumably music by Walter Murphy, who also did the music for this. So that's that's outstanding. Hold on, busy man. He's a busy fucking dude. He's up to all sorts. He's producing 20 years worth of music for this fucking thing. He never stopped. He was the guy who never stopped.
Whatever that is. My God.
If you ever look at any list of animated movies in any given years, there's a lot of Japanese stuff. Not that I'm going to rule all of that out. It's just I haven't seen, you know, Futari wa Pretty Cure Max Heart 2, Friends of the Snow-Laden Lady. But you know Miyazaki. What? That, you know what? That's the one better thing. I don't know anything about that, but I'm sure it's better than Food Fight. It's created by Izumi Toro, and I'm going to go ahead and say that this movie is going to be pretty good. So check out Futari wa Pretty Cure Max Heart 2, Friends of the Snow-Laden Sky.
Fuck yeah. Miyazaki might still hate it, but it doesn't mean it's not better than Food Fight.
He might have said it was an insult to humanity itself, but, you know, he said that about most things, including most of the lunches he was served by his long-suffering wife. Paul,
his own son, yeah.
How can people find out about our long-suffering life?
Oh, I see what you did there.
Uh-oh.
Don't do that. It's sad. But if you want to find out about the things that aren't us on a personal level, you go onto Twitter and Facebook at OGTPod, where... Mr. Paul Salt over here.
Hello.
Puts out the call for the OG team. So if you've seen one of these films, don't watch Food Fight. But if you've seen one of these films and you have a good thing to say, go on there. Because we're asking for it.
Go on there.
We're desperate for your touch.
Why not go on there? What will it hurt you?
What will it twert you? And also on Patreon, where we put out the call for the OG team, but also have hundreds and thousands. Hundreds of thousands of hours, I say at this point.
Yeah.
Practically billions of hours of...
Practically.
Us talking about flims. And other people talking about flims. People who came on this show. Some who didn't.
Some who refused,
but we stole them anyway.
Stole their essences.
Yeah.
And that's really going to be the one thing that brings you back to Food Fight. I'm Paul Salt.
I'm Paul Goodman.
And remember, the one good thing about Food Fight... is that there's just absolutely no impetus to watch it whatsoever, so don't.
Okay.